We're proud to be from Ohio, and it's always been Ohio against the world.
Hey, Buckeye Nation, Joe Warwick here, your host of the Buckeye Cast. Check out the Buckeye Cast on your favorite podcast app. From the latest Ohio State news to in-depth recruiting updates, the Buckeye Cast has you covered every day. Find us on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe now and get your Buckeye football fix with the Buckeye Cast. Go Bucks!
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. It's a breaking news edition of not just the Red Leg Nation Radio podcast. I'm Chad Dotson, but also the Red Reporter podcast.
The Red Reporter podcast.
Yeah,
let's... Hey, I'm BK. I'm here talking with Chad about the news of the day. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. Really glad to talk to you again, BK. Yeah. And it's been a crazy day for the Reds, has it not?
A lot going on.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be a good time to get on and just sort of talk about it. I guess the first order of business is the Reds earlier today claimed Scooter Gennett off waivers from the Brewers.
Right.
And I think Christian Walker, who they picked up on waivers previously, was claimed by the Diamondbacks to make room for him. Does that seem like as odd of a move to you as it does me?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially, you know, with how the bench was looking, you know, coming into just today, you know, it didn't seem like that was really even up for debate. You know, it looked like, you know, I think we knew that Alcantara was going to make the roster. And it looked like Desmond Jennings was a lock to make the roster at this point. So, you know, I was pretty put off by it, too. But then again, you know, I think when you have when you look at it as the Reds having a chance to, in essence, get rid of Christian Walker and bring Scooter Gennett into the fold, I think that makes a lot of sense just like in that context. But yeah, for this Reds roster, it kind of threw everything into disarray for a little bit there, didn't it?
It really did. And I think you're right. If you're just looking at it, it's a straight swap Christian Walker for Scooter Gennett. I think it's the Reds win that deal.
Yeah.
If Gennett can play second, third, left field like is reported, I don't think he's played that in a while, but if he can, I mean, he can be a useful part. He's a decent player. He's not a bad guy to have on your bench. I mean, he's no world beater, but he's okay. What interests me, though, is that this transaction really set off the flurry of transactions later where when they acquired him, it sort of made, I guess in the Reds' mind, made Desmond Jennings expendable, perhaps they designated him for assignment, I guess, or he has an opt out clause.
Moved him to minor league camp,
right.
But I think we agree that he's probably going to take that minor league. He's going to opt out and probably become a free agent, and I'm sure he'd be able to hop on somewhere else within the next couple of days. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Like you said, I thought he was a lock to make the just because he's a really good defender. He's been a big leaguer. He's still relatively young, and defensively he can back up in the outfield, especially in center field, because the Reds don't really have a natural backup to Billy Hamilton if and when he gets hurt. And
right.
So what happens is now you don't have Jennings, and Patrick Kivlahan makes the roster instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's really sort of a strange construction. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a bad idea. I'm scratching my head just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they kind of had a lot to consider, especially when they made the decision that they're going to go with the four-man bench and that Stuart Turner was going to be one of those four guys probably. So you have three guys that have to cover for the other eight positions, and so you kind of cross them off the list. Well, you know, Alcantara can play short. He played some center field throughout spring training, apparently looked pretty good out there, good enough. I think that, you know, they liked Kivlahan at the corner infield spots a little bit more than they maybe thought that they would. But, you know, just yesterday we were kind of talking about Hernán Iribarren making the team just because he can play everywhere. And it seems like, you know, with a guy like Gennett, who can play some infield, has done some outfield too, albeit not at the big league level, but apparently he can play there. You know, it just kind of, I don't know if it moved everything into place, but I'm still kind of shaking my head at, you know, letting a guy like Desmond Jennings go who still could potentially have some good big league years left in his tank.
I would think so. And you start to look at this bench and who are your backup outfielders? They're all infielders. Alcantara, Jose right. Peraza can play center field if they need to. Schebler is probably going to be starting in right, but he's probably one of the backups in center field.
Yeah.
And I guess Jeanette, they say he can play left field. I don't know. So it's really – Desmond Jeanette seemed to make so much sense from the Reds' perspective.
Given their roster construction right now, it seemed like he was a no-brainer. Even when they brought in, more veteran-y guy, when they had Ryan Rayburn there, it was like, well – even if one of those two guys makes the team, albeit both of them probably could have. I thought, when they signed Rayburn, that both of those guys probably had a shot at being the fourth and fifth outfielders. And now you look at what they ended up doing, and they don't have a fourth outfielder. It seems like they just kind of have infielders that can fill in those spots, and they are going to go into opening day happy with those positions. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Oh, it will be, especially if there are any injury issues. Maybe think Philip Irvin can come up if they need him to. I mean, there are other names, but.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest takeaways with this is that, the fact that they didn't feel the need to keep a guy like Jennings, I think says a lot about, Philip Irvin, Jesse Winker especially, where, I think that if they have an injury in the outfield, if, Duvall or, Schebler isn't producing like we think that he should be and isn't kind of living up to his billing as the starter this year, maybe we see Jesse Winker sooner rather than later, and maybe he becomes that, everyday starter at right field, and Schebler becomes your fourth outfielder who can play a little kind of in that same Jennings role. So, I think that it does show some confidence in these younger guys. And I think when you look at the rest of the moves today, I think that's kind of the theme of a lot of it is, showing confidence in younger guys that maybe you wouldn't have expected in, previous Reds teams.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. We're certainly going to see that in just a moment when we get into talking about the pitching staff, because really some surprising moves there. Briefly, Rob Brantley assigned to the minor leagues, which reassigned to the minor leagues, which means Stuart Turner. You mentioned him, Stuart Turner, the Rule 5 pick from the Twins is going to, and I don't think that's really a surprise, but probably the right call until Devin Mesoraco is ready. It'll be interesting to see what the Reds do if they try to work out a deal with the Twins once Mesoraco is ready so they can hang on to Turner. Seems like he's pretty good. I don't know if I'd call him organizational filler, but I mean, he's a guy that you could bring up and is probably a legitimate major league backup catcher.
Right, I think, right now it seems that way. I mean, he really impressed with his numbers in spring. I think he, when you read all of the accounts of people who have been watching the team day to day, more than we can, being, farther away.
Right.
But, Turner seems to be one of the guys that's always mentioned there as, hey, I didn't know that he was going to hit this well. So, and major props to him for really earning his spot on the team. It could have been real easy for the Reds to just say, thanks but no thanks, Minnesota. We'll take Rob Brantley, who's a known commodity in Major League Baseball, but they're sticking with Turner. They're going to give him a shot as the backup, and and at least until Devin gets back. So I think that they'll have some decisions to make at that point. We'll see kind of how that, hopefully that'll kind of play itself out.
I think you're right. The thing about Turner that you see and what some people wanted the young pitchers to do last year is you get a chance, grab that brass ring and take advantage of your opportunities. And Turner did that. And now he's going to be on the Major League roster. One thing I like about Turner, just it's a complete aside, it's really irrelevant, but in college he won the Johnny Bench Award for the catchers in college baseball. So, he's a natural born Cincinnati Red.
Yeah.
So, I do want to sort of have a toast for Hernan Iribarren, who got reassigned to the minor leagues today. We sort of knew that was happening, but I've got a soft spot for that guy. I was kind of holding out hope he'd somehow figure out a way to get on the roster.
Yeah, he was always one of the guys that, every minor leaguer that they're interviewing is talking about how much of an influence he was, you know, in Louisville the last couple of years. And, you know, yeah, it was really cool to watch him get a shot last year. And it looked like, you know, he was kind of doing all the right things as far as being that veteran-y guy. But, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that we're not going to see him, huh?
It really is. He's a sort of a good guy to really impressive young – not a young man anymore, but just
– Yeah, maybe later on this year we'll see him back up in Cincinnati, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. He's a good guy to have around, decent bench guy.
Yeah.
The next news that came out later in the day was very shortly thereafter, after the Jeanette news, really surprised. Well, it did surprise me. I won't say it really surprised me. I thought there was a chance. We talk about a guy that grabbed his opportunity. The news leaked out that Rookie Davis had made the Cincinnati Reds opening day roster. Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised by that. You know, I thought that, you know, with the talent that the Reds had in camp, there was going to be one or two guys that kind of lost the numbers game. And it, you know, from the guys that were talking about, it looked like Rookie Davis might be that guy. You know, they still had Sal Romano in camp. You still had guys like Stevenson and Reed talking about rotation spots and Amir Garrett. So, you know, it looked like of the options that, you know, it seemed pretty easy that they could just throw Rookie Davis down to AAA, let him marinate for a little bit. But, you know, hey, they're giving him a shot. So I think I don't know. What do you think?
Romano and Adelman were optioned to the minor leagues. And when that happened, you start, maybe Davis is in the mix. And then the news comes out that he's in the rotation. And, Rookie Davis in the last probably 18 months has done as much as anyone to really increase his stock. He's done nothing but perform. And for those of you that don't know, Rookie Davis came over in the trade for Aroldis Chapman when the Reds dealt him away. And so it's going to be interesting to see if we got a little bit of a return there. He's a hard thrower. He has a great attitude. He's, I've got no problems with this. And I'm really excited to watch him on the big league level. I think he's earned his shot, and that's what this year should be for. Let's get these young guys up here, and let's see what they can do, both in the pitching staff and the young guys, specifically talking about Winker and Peraza and Herrera in the lineup. So, yeah, I'm all for it. It did surprise me, but I think it's fantastic. Now, when I heard the news, I thought, well, that's probably going to be the only – I'm sorry for doing this – the only rookie – In the rotation. Yeah, I know.
Awful.
That's terrible.
Hey, we're going to be, this is what we're going to be doing all year long.
All year long. It's going to be awful, just insufferable. But but come to find out later in the day, Amir Garrett is in the rotation too.
And the other young pitcher, yeah.
Yeah. And really, that surprised me. Once I heard about Rookie, I thought, well, they're going to give the other starting spots to Bronson Arroyo, I really thought, and as it turns out, they are going to give him a starting spot. But I thought Cody Reed probably had the inside track on that other one if Garrett didn't get it, because I figured they'd try to, you know, massage the service time with Garrett and send him down for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of in the same boat as you there. I was a little bit less surprised with Garrett than I was with, you know, Rookie Davis. But, you know, I think Garrett, the difference with him is that, you know, service time issues might not be as much of a concern because he's older.
Yes.
Because he, you know, played basketball for a while. So, you know, he started in the low minors late and kind of came up late. So, you know, I think Garrett's, 25 now? So
I think, yeah, yes.
He'll be fairly old compared to the rest of his pitching staff. So, you know, I think it was maybe less of a concern for him. I don't think that would have, really forced the Reds' hand like it would have, like it might have for a guy like Sal Romano, who, you know, maybe that influenced his decision to get another year of control for him. But yeah, I was really hoping that they would give Garrett the shot, and I'm glad to see it.
Well, me too, for a couple of reasons. First of all, in terms of the service time, they could still send him down for a two or three starts later in the year or something, and still get that threshold for getting that extra year. I mean, it's not a guarantee that they're giving up on that. But to me, Garrett is, I think, he's got the highest ceiling of this group, and I think he's major league ready. I mean, I really, you know, someone mentioned on Twitter today that it kind of reminds him of Johnny Cueto when he was first brought up, when everybody was like, oh, are you pushing him a little bit? No, I mean, maybe pushing just a tiny bit, but this guy's 25. It's time to get him here. He's had performances in AA and AAA where he just blew hitters away. Inconsistent, as young pitchers often are, but he's just I think he's liable to have sometime in the first couple of months a start where he goes 8 innings and strikes out 11 guys and just blows all of our minds. And he's also likely there'll be a start where he gives up 8 runs, you know. And,
In 2/3 of an inning and just is completely. So
that's what young pitchers do.
But it's better that he's doing that at the big league level and adjusting that way as opposed to, you know, marinating in AAA for that opportunity later on in the season. So, yeah. I'm totally in agreement with you.
And I'm going to tell people all year, and it's, I don't mean to compare Amir Garrett to Greg Maddux, but everybody needs to go look at what Greg Maddux did his first 2 years in the big leagues, okay?
Right.
Young pitchers struggle. It doesn't mean that, and that's what I said about Cody Reed last year. You know, come on. And Robert Stevenson, come on. Give him some time. And now, when you hear Rookie Davis, Amir Garrett, and looks like a Bronson Arroyo is going to get that fifth spot in the rotation, the first thing I would think is, well, Cody Reed and Robert Stevenson, they're shut out. But no, they're going to be in the bullpen, looks like.
And right.
That really does surprise me.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of. I think their situations are similar and different kind of at the same time. You know, I think that, Stevenson kind of had the yips, for lack of a better term, when he was up. And I think that, you know, the bullpen is probably a better fit for him just until he kind of gets comfortable facing major league hitters and is able to kind of control his emotions on the mound, you know, because from what we saw of him last year, he would have a bad inning, and then it would just kind of snowball into, you know, a couple bad innings, as opposed to, you know, really just being able to hunker down, you know, have a short memory and get on to the next one. So, you know, Reed surprises me a lot more, I think. I would have expected him to be in the rotation, but
I would have thought him over Rookie Davis. If you tell me these four guys are going to be on the opening day roster, two of them starting, two of them relieving, I would have guessed Reed and Garrett are your starters, and Davis and Stevenson in the bullpen. And again, that's just me speculating. I'm sort of two minds here. I know a lot of people sort of freaked out about the fact that Stevenson and Reed are in the bullpen, and I need to say that I think that in general, I think it can be a good idea. And I think all the way back to Earl Weaver, you know, and even Sparky with the Don Gullett and some guys, Gary Nolan. But I think it can be a good idea to get some of these young guys in the bullpen, get them some major league experience, let them learn to get major league hitters out, and learn what it's like to be a big leaguer.
For sure.
So I don't mind it in that instance, but then I start getting these flashbacks of Aroldis Chapman and Rizal Iglesias and Michael Lorenzen, like guys Lorenzen, that I thought should get a chance to start. Even Lorenzen should be starting this year. And then I think, oh, no, are they going to – and I'm not going to get cynical. I'm not going to believe they're out there to stay because I really don't think they are. But I don't know. Should I be more worried about that?
Yeah, I hope not. I hope that those days are, you know, left with Jocketty. But,
yes.
You know, I think, you know, a good comparison that I saw today was talking about how the Cardinals develop pitching. And, you know, when you look at, you know, as much as there are, you know, hated rivals and all that, you look at the way that the Cardinals have developed pitchers the last couple of seasons, and you have a guy like Carlos Martinez who's, you started out in the bullpen. Alex Reyes spent a lot of last year in the bullpen. You know, so they bring these guys up, throw them in the bullpen for a while until they kind of get their legs, and then unleash them into the rotation, and they become superstars. So
yeah, it can work. It can actually work.
I think there's a recent track record of success with that strategy. And so I'm hoping that that's what they have in mind for it, as opposed to, as you said, Russell Iglesias and Michael Lorenzen, and yeah, that could. Yeah,
it absolutely can work. There's no question in my mind. And if the Reds are going to sort of approach the strategy that way, I think it's great. Let's get these guys some innings. And rather than having them in AAA, I'd rather have them in the Major League bullpen, frankly. Mm-hmm. And I think there is something to be said for the fact that we have a new regime in place here. Dick Williams is in charge, and it's not fair to tarnish his reputation with some decisions we disagreed with in the past.
Right.
On the other hand, you know, we do still have Michael Lorenzen. I mean, I understand Iglesias with the shoulder issues, but we do still have Lorenzen who said late last year, even as late as last September, I think, that he wanted to be a starter. And you've got him no hint that he's even ever going to get a chance. And so I don't know. I know I shouldn't be as gun shy as I am, because I think if it's just a stepping stone to get them in the rotation at some point, or at least seeing if they can be in the rotation good, I worry about them having some success early, and then, oops, all of a sudden, it's Michael Lorenzen 2.0.
Right. Well, and I think the biggest difference between this year and years past is that, you know, because that they're going with such inexperienced guys in Garrett and Davis, you know, I think they'll have a lot shorter leashes on those guys as far as, you know, hey, if Rookie Davis comes up and he has a couple of three inning starts, you know, it's easy to just swap him with Stevenson or Reed or even Lorenzen if, you know, it comes to that at some point. So, you know, I think that it's a lot more fluid of a situation. You know, the way that we're talking about the five starters now, you know, 2 weeks from now, those guys might not be the rotation anymore. So, yeah, I think there's always, with a young team like this, there's always so many moving parts that, you know, it's going to be hard to keep straight who's in the rotation here.
Yeah,
from
week to week, it could change. And, and another difference that I do feel compelled to bring up is that, yes, Stevenson and Reed are going to be in this bullpen, but it's a different bullpen than the bullpen that Iglesias and Lorenzen were asked to go down to. There were nobody else down there but in that bullpen, and they really needed relievers. This year, you hope Storen, I mean, his velocity's down. You hope he's going to be okay. You hope Iglesias will be back soon. And then with Lorenzen down there, I mean, you know, it's not like Reed and Stevenson are going to be counted on, to close out games or necessarily always in a high-leverage situation. So it could be a good place to get their feet wet.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like this a lot more than I think other people have been kind of talking about.
Well, if I wasn't worried about them just getting stuck down there, then I would love it.
Yeah. So, on paper without the track record of the Reds recently, right. I can
Yeah.
I mean, objectively, it's a good move.
It is. I agree 100%. Now, Barrett Aston, Wandy Peralta got the last two spots in the bullpen, and I would not be surprised if both of those guys, maybe it'll be somebody else, but if both those guys were in AAA when Iglesias is ready, and then when Bronson Arroyo comes to make his first start on the 8th or whatever date that he's scheduled to start.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would agree with that too. Yeah, I think it's probably one of those two guys.
Well, let's just, you know, before we wrap up here, because we did want to keep this fairly tight. I've got to get your opinion on my guy Bronson Arroyo.
Yeah. Okay. This was going to be the last thing I brought up too. So I'm glad you and I are on the same page here. Yeah. How crazy is it that Bronson Arroyo is going to be starting for the Cincinnati Reds in 2017? Who would have thought?
Not pitched since 2014. already a Reds Hall of Famer, just based on his Reds career, in my opinion. And, you know, comes out of nowhere. And, you know, okay, we can discuss the merits of it, and I'm happy to do that, and I understand the objections to it, but I don't know. It's a fun story to me. He could be, you know, he may get two starts, and that's all we have of him. You know, let's not get too upset about him taking somebody else's spot. But
yeah, we'll see if he ends up staying there for the whole season before we start to get nervous about it. But yeah, for now, I think we should enjoy it. And, you know, hey, this is a fun situation, right?
Who doesn't love Bronson Arroyo?
Yeah, you know, exactly. And he's going to be great in that clubhouse that doesn't really have anyone
close to his age in the clubhouse. So, you know, in mentoring these young pitchers, like, I'm really excited to see what he can bring just to the mentality of, you know, turning some of these hard throwers that the Reds have into pitchers. You know,
yeah.
We
got four really young guys down there now that are really going to be getting their first real extended shot at the big leagues. We can just debate how much the mentoring, you know, how much effect that can have. It's got to help, I would think. And I think it also helps a guy like Roselli Iglesias. To me, I say it all the time on our podcast. I call Roselli Iglesias Bronson Arroyo with stuff. I mean, he does sort of some of the similar things that Arroyo did, changing speeds, changing arm angles, but he's got legit pitcher. But so you got to think there's things he could learn from Bronson Arroyo, the ultimate sort of soft tosser, but also the ultimate craftsman in some ways.
Yeah, I think he'll bring a lot of that kind of changing arm angles and, you know, changing his delivery in between pitches like Bronson can do. Yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch. I think it'll be fun to watch, you know, major leaguers try to hit his 83 mile an hour fastball.
So can you call it a fastball?
I don't know,
but even guys like Cody Reed and Amir Garrett, the sort of hard throwers, just the fact that Arroyo has to think so much to get hitters out, if he can impart any of that knowledge, we're ahead of the game if we keep him for a little while.
I totally agree. And I think that, you know, a lot of the criticism that people have been given that move is that, you know, they're taking innings away from these younger pitchers. And I know Bronson himself has said that, you know, he's going to try and hit 200 innings this year, which we'll see about that. But, I think that, you know, when it comes to what the Reds need to start the season, you know, they don't need guys that are going to – they don't need four guys in a row who are going to give you three innings a start. They need one or two guys that, you know, can be the stopper in the rotation, especially if there's a skid with the starting pitching, which, you know, with this young rotation, it's almost a given that it's going to happen at times this year. You know, you need a guy who can go out there and say, hey, I don't have my best stuff today, but I'm going to give you six innings no matter what. I might give up five or six runs. But hey, you gave the rest of the bullpen a rest, and that's, you know, you need a guy like that. And really the staff, until Anthony DeSclafani gets back, the staff doesn't really have that guy right now.
And when DeSclafani and Homer Bailey, if Homer Bailey ever returns, but when they come back, I mean, Arroyo's gone probably. I know he wants to throw 200 innings and, you know, God bless him. You know, I'm rooting for Bronson Arroyo, but he's going to be gone then more than likely, if not sooner, if one of these other guys push in. So I get the argument, but I'm going to wait to start getting distressed about the fact that Bronson Arroyo is taking up innings, I guess, because there is some upside there that he could help the team.
I think if he comes out this year, like kind of like Alfredo Simon did, you know, last year, where, you know, he has a couple of just terrible starts in a row. He puts together four three inning starts in a row where he's given up 7, 8, 9 runs. And you're just like, well, okay. Yeah. That's enough, Bronson.
Well, and when someone mentions Alfredo Simon, that's as good a spot as any to stop
talking. That's about where we should wrap it up. Right?
That's right. Any other thoughts, BK, before we do wrap it up here?
No, man, I'm excited to see where this goes and excited for the season to start.
It's baseball, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's back.
Yeah, it's back, and it's going to be fun one way or the other. I hope it's really fun, but we'll see.
Right, exactly.
All right. Hey, this was fun. We're going to get together and do more of these Red Reporter, Red Leg Nation podcasts.
There's more collaborations to come, so stay tuned for that.
Absolutely. Well, BK, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chad.
All right. Yeah. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.